All right, I'd like to welcome organic farmer and caregiver Brian to the Jabbercast.
Thank you, Katie. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to talk about cannabis. We're going to talk about some legislation behind medicinal cannabis and how organics and hydroponics fits into this. So let's begin maybe talking a little bit about the science behind this.
Absolutely. Well, as it relates to the science of cannabis and organics, and more specifically hydroponics and organics, it's really been within the last 5 to 7 years that the science has come full circle, and now we are actually seeing full lines of organic nutrients that are used in hydroponic growing actually on the market, and more importantly, starting to see yields with the organic products that are comparable with, you know, the commercially viable products that were available even just 2 and 3 years ago. So that's one of the big things that's happened as it relates to science. The other thing around plant science, we're learning so much more that, you know, the things that have been being applied to field crops and being applied to your commercial vegetables and produce, we're now able to take that science and apply it to the cannabis production. And it's really exciting to see what's happening.
Can you tell me a little bit of the difference between maybe the growing of it in this particular way that you're kind of discussing as far as organic or hydroponically grown as opposed to any other way?
Certainly. Well, we focus primarily on organics for several reasons. The cannabis that we produce is being used as a medicine. So we want to ensure that, for one, I'm a patient as well. So whatever I put in my body or whatever I give to the patients that I work with, I want to ensure is, the utmost quality. And so that's why we've really leaned heavily towards organics. And initially, we're only doing soil cultivation. And then as the organic hydroponics were more of a viable option, also turning to that. The reason, like I said before, that's so crucial is when you're using a plant compound, it's just like the pills that you take that your doctor prescribes. You wouldn't want any of that to be less than a premium ingredient that goes into that. And we take that same concept and are applying it to this. We wouldn't ever put anything on a plant that we wouldn't eat ourselves. And the difference that that makes is a much cleaner product, for one. Don't have any of the chemicals, you don't have any of the pesticides. And especially when you get into, some people don't smoke cannabis at all. They only use tinctures or edibles or something of that nature. But when you get into the smoking of cannabis specifically, those chemicals that are used during the growing process, if they're not completely flushed, those are going to be vaporized. You're going to be inhaling those. And so that's something we recommend highly against and teach against as far as the people that we work with, as far as helping them get started growing, helping them get started as caregivers. Did I answer your question, Big JD?
Yeah, you brought something else up there as far as edibles. Yeah. When you talk about edibles, are you referring still to cannabis in some way?
Absolutely. In fact, of the patients that I work with, only about 20% of them actually smoke it. Some people, because of the condition they have, can't smoke it, or they have very sensitive respiratory systems. So cannabis can be processed into beverages, it can be processed into edibles, it can even be processed into capsules, and relatively simply.
And the effects are still basically the same? Or?
And actually, the effects can be more so when it's done edibly. Usually the only difference is the reaction time of your body. And as with anything, everyone's different. So how someone reacts to smoking cannabis could be completely different to how someone reacts to eating it. But yes, people derive extreme benefit from the eating and even drinking of cannabis products.
That's really interesting. And something that I'm kind of under the assumption of, that something that's government controlled, as far as like legislation is concerned, for places to actually grow this, is there anything like requirements by the government that it's manipulated or changed in any way that maybe doesn't make it as potent as something that you would find elsewhere, like on the street or whatnot? Or is it the same kind of thing? Is it better?
My personal experience is, anything that you grow and tend to yourself is going to be a much higher quality than what you get in the store, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you were to have a garden and grow a tomato, more than likely that tomato in your garden is going to taste better and actually be more nutritious than what you get off the grocery shelf.
Right.
And it's very similar with cannabis. You know, genetics play a big part, and I don't want to undermine that at all. But in the same breath, just as if you take exceptional care of a particular plant, that plant is going to yield you a considerable amount of fruit or a high quality of fruit if it's cared for properly. And the cannabis plant is no different. So in answer to your question, I actually think you're able to produce a, you know, again, much cleaner product, but in the end, a much more potent product in doing it on your own as opposed to what has been being done for a considerable period of time.
Right, okay.
And the quality that I've seen is, like I said, much higher when you're producing on your own, when you're able to make sure all those checks and balances are taken care of.
Let's move on to some of the legislation as it pertains to laws. You're in Michigan, so let's talk about how they pertain to Michigan and how they differ from other states, possibly.
One of the things that's made the Michigan law very interesting is that it allows for the saving of seeds and stocks, whereas the majority of the rest of the states in the United States that have allowed cannabis production do not allow for that.
Okay.
Now, most people think that it's insignificant because you don't have typically a very high THC quality or quantity in the stocks, and there's no THC quantity in the seeds. But it actually opens up two doors in the technology industry. You know, as most of us or your listeners on this podcast probably know, is that this is a highly underutilized plant from a medical standpoint, from a textile standpoint, and even from a food source standpoint. Cannabis seed has, I don't remember the exact amount, but more protein per volume than the majority of other plants that exist. So, you know, there's even been a lot of research that's been being done into producing some of the TVPs or textured vegetable proteins out of a hemp-based plant as opposed to the other vegetables and starches that are being used now. But what the law here opens it up for is actually being able to take this product and research it for these other uses. And that's actually one of the things that we're doing now is partnering with other caregivers to start compiling these materials and then make sure they're getting into the hands of the proper researchers that are out there that can do that work.
Okay, now you mentioned materials for other uses. Are we talking medicinal use or something different altogether now?
It actually can be both. There was actually a period of time in this country where hemp, a sister plant of the cannabis product, was actually mandated if you owned land that you grow a certain percentage as that product so that it can be used for rope fiber, for textile fiber. You know, that's just one of the many facets that it can be used for. You know, fuel is another, you know, the biofuels industry, the seed oils that come from it, et cetera. These are, as it pertains to the cannabis plant, something that is very unexplored because of the restrictions that have been on this plant for so long.
Lastly, what I'd like to talk to you about is the stems and the seeds. Are those things that get used, again, in a medicinal purpose, or is that something that is used for other things as well, or both again?
The stems, hypothetically, could be. There is still a small THC content in the stems. They could be soaked to be extracted, but you wouldn't gain much value medicinally out of that. The seeds, on the other hand, could be used, obviously, to grow more plants.
Right.
That would be the two areas that I could see there being a secondary use beyond research.
Great stuff. Well, I really appreciate you being on the show, taking the time to talk to us about this, and wish you the best in what you do as an organic farmer and caregiver. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Big JD. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Brian.